I'm so glad y'all showed up. This is great. Awesome. Way to go. Dismiss the kids. The kids are dismissed, officially dismissed. And welcome all to the Facebook land and people on the internet listening. And I'm going to get this really in my ear here. There we go, because I always feel like it's going to fall out, and then that would be tragedy. Before we get started, I just want to get everything organized for y'all. How's your week going? Awesome. Good. Came out in the coldest night of the week. That's awesome. You diehards, that's so great. Got a couple things. So tonight we're going to be going over part two. I really could make this like 6 weeks of stuff. So I'm like jamming so much in because there's really so much to this. We're supposed to be going over part two of praying the scriptures, the power and position and promise of prayer. They just sound great, don't they? The position of prayer, the power in prayer. And they're so awesome. But before I get started, of course I can't find it. But that's okay because I got it from my head. So there. I was thinking, I just want to cast vision. I just want to share a little bit of my heart about prayer. And I just don't want to say these words, you know. I just don't want to say scripture and just kind of go over and, like Pastor Ben would say, taste like chicken, right? You go to the football game, you go to the gas station, yeah, you go in and go out. I don't want church to be like that. And I don't want Wednesday nights to be like that. I want us to encounter the Lord every night. And I just feel like it's a powerful time in the first part of the year to expect and wait on God. And what a great teaching, fundamental teaching of faith that Bill did on Sunday. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's a substance. And as I was doing this, I was writing this over, there's so many things that interlap with prayer. I mean, it's like your whole Christian life. Without prayer, how do you talk to God? I need healing. I need a job. I need life. I need forgiveness. It's all through the context of prayer. So a lot of this y'all already know. You know, a lot of these principles you know. But you need to, I mean, y'all are probably like next to the glories because you're really committed here. But I want you to experience prayer. That is my heart. When there's so many things rolling through my mind. Like, I just feel like we're headed as a church. I can't do this by myself. Correct. I need some of you. This is a call and a plea to prayer. We have committed people. There is no condemnation and there is no shame. But if we are going to be visible and we are going to be faith illustrated, we need everybody. I can't lead this. I mean, of course I don't lead it. It's the Holy Spirit, but we need an army together, locking arms, believing the best, proclaiming God's promises, prophesying to this city. But we got to do this together. Otherwise, guess what? We're going to be 115 people, which is awesome. But there's a whole city that needs to experience what we do on a regular basis. This culture of love and grace and forbearance and the Holy Spirit, right? So tonight, as I'm going over this, I just want, because I was thinking, man, I can go through this, but I want you to catch it, you know? You can't, there's some things you can't catch. Character, integrity. It's like you hear it and, oh, I'm an integrity person or righteous person. Just because you hear it once doesn't, like, oh, now I know, praying the scriptures. Now I know how to get right to the throne room of God. You already know this stuff. So what is it? What's stopping you? So I want you to go away. I want to challenge you. Where are you at in your prayer life? When was the last time you really had a meaningful communion with Jesus? And then identify it and say, sometimes I don't have it for like a while. Sometimes I'm super spiritual and I can hear the Lord like right there. And there's other times I'm dull and I'm not hearing things. So what is it? Why aren't we close with the Lord? What is it that's blocking it? Is it something in yourselves? You know, emotions are really funny. They really are. Sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. Sometimes there's new seasons in prayer where we have to interact with God in a different way. We can't interact the same way we interacted with him 20 years ago when we first got saved, or 50 years ago. We got to grow in grace in prayer with God. We got to move. And sometimes that's awkward. It's like, okay, do you want me to read this proverb, or do you want me to talk to you, or what does that look like? But so tonight I was feeling like we have got to have some qualities about us as people, just not even our prayer life, to be strong Christians. So some of the words that were coming to me, you got to have some grit, right? You got to have some grit. I mean, when I think of grit, I think of boxers. I think of them doing these crazy hard workouts. You got to have determination. You have to be determined because you're going to hit a wall at some point in your walk. And I'm not being the negative Nelly. You're going to hit a wall. The when you first get saved, you're in love with Jesus. But then what happens when something comes against you? What happens when friends disappoint you? Your pastor disappoints you? What are you going to do then? What happens when you got all your needs met? Do you still go to God to just simply enjoy him? Or do you feel like, yeah, I'm good? I mean, sometimes you get a word and you get filled. That can go for like 2 days. And then you leak. And then you're like, you know, we leak, right? The world sucks it out of us really quick. But so what are you going to do then? You know, we plateau out. Our Christian life is hills and valleys, seasons. But we have to have that determination. So thank you to the sound booth guys. I'm they are awesome because I'm like last minute. There's a little video. If Brian could play that, this is just a video I just came across that I thought was kind of cool about perseverance. It's just a short video here. You want to go ahead with that, Brian, if you can.
Now listen, this matter of perseverance is so critical to the Christian life that James chapter 1 tells us that perseverance above all other human traits is the characteristic that God's trying to build into your life and mine. Perseverance, keep on going on, keep making and keeping the commitments of life. James chapter 1 says that God uses trials to teach us perseverance. It says, my brothers, consider it pure joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trial of your faith produces endurance, perseverance. The old translation said patience. The Greek hupomene means staying power, the ability to remain under the pressure. Here's the question. What do you do when the pressure's on? I mean, when the pressure's on. It's easy to start the race. Man, you can get all kinds of people to get up in the morning, get their jogging suit on, and start the race. But when the miles have been clicking past and the muscles are starting to fatigue and life isn't easy anymore, what do? It's easy to pray a prayer. It's easy to walk an aisle. It's easy to confess faith in Christ. But listen, to keep on following Christ, even when it's hard, even when the pressure's on. You know that if God can get that one thing into your life, he can give you everything else? James 1 goes on to say, but let perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Learning the power of perseverance, and there is power in it.
Amen. That's awesome. Right? And you know, it's not how you start, right? It is not how you start, even though it's amazing when you meet Jesus and you have an encounter with the Lord, but enduring to the end. Now, there is the real crown. There's the real blessing. Because when I see people that are in their 70s and 80s in the prayer group, and there is something different about a prayer warrior that's been praying for 50 years. There's just a richness, and they know a richness of being with Christ. Amen. I mean, perseverance in so many things, it's so good. So if you can get those qualities, those consistent qualities of being determined, having that sort of grit that, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to get through. I don't care how hard it is. I'm going to push through because God will get you through. Hold on to his promises. So let's do a quick recap of, let me pray before we get started. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would just speak through me. Use me as a mouthpiece, God. Let me not say anything on my own accord. Let me come in the power in the name of Jesus Christ, God. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would show us exactly how to persevere, how to endure to the end, and how to follow you with all of our hearts. So I pray that your teaching, your word, would be a blessing to everyone who hears it, in Jesus' name. So last week we talked about the purpose of prayer, right? And we talked about that it's more than relief in our own selves, whether there's anxiety or worry. Prayer's more than that. The purpose of prayer is God's invitation to us. He invites us. So when we feel like it's dull and we got all our prayers answered, so we're kind of on this high place, we don't really need God, life is good. It's not when we're thinking like, oh, should I meet with him this morning? Or things are kind of good. I don't really, you know, feel like I need him per se, when in reality we always do. But the motivation is God is drawing himself to you. He wants to commune with you. That's what it's about. We are selfish and he is selfless. Our nature is to take, his is to give. He wants friendship. He wants communion. He redeemed his people for restoration of relationship. So that should be our mindset when we think about prayer. And how we approach prayer sometimes shouldn't be like, I'm not really sure if I'm going to hear him. Get some faith in your heart and say, I am his sheep. And the sheep hear his voice. And I'm his sheep. I'm born again. So I'm going to hear him. And my heart's pure as far as I know. You know, he hasn't shown me that it's not need conviction. So the pure in heart shall see God, right? So we got to kind of stir that faith up. We got to speak the word. And so that motivation should be that we want to know Jesus, not specific answers. Sometimes I think we can, even though he wants to answer us and he wants to move in our prayers, the heart really is to know his ways and be Jesus to this world. And that happens when we meet with him. So just in essence, I just want us to all, you know, in those persevere, I just want us to push through to God when everything in us wants us to compromise. When this world wants us to give up, throw in the towel. But I know this about the people of Visible, that we are not the quitting type. We don't back down. That is not who we are. Because why? We got the Spirit of God in us. And we're going to go forward in God. And we help each other. We help each other spur each other on to good works, right? So I just wrote this. As I was writing this, I just felt like I wanted to speak this admonition over you guys tonight. It says, when the Spirit of God leads you into prayer, listen and obey. Take time, plenty of time to get alone with God. Don't get up. Don't get nervous. Don't look at your watch. It takes effort. Don't leave until you get the mind of God. If you don't, it is dangerous to your own souls. When you don't meet with God, your mind is not renewed, and we're dealing with heathens, aren't we? We're dealing with the world, and we need to be a light, and we can't be a light until you have the mind of Christ. That will cause you to lose the spirit of prayer if you don't get the mind of God. God would not lead you to prayer unless he meant to answer you. But you must pray through. You must pray through that flesh that you're wrestling with. Prayer is battle, friends. It is a battle. This is our weapon, prayer. It's not just some theological prayer, talking like this. It is a battle, friends. If we could see the unseen world, there are things that there is changing in the spirit realm. Major, there's things that we can't see unless the Lord shows us. You must pray through the trials of life concerning your soul. It's a battle to get to God's heart. But those qualities that we talked about before, grit, determination, tenacity. It's a battle to get to God's heart, but your tenacity and your grit, working with the Spirit, will get you there. Things will break up. The ground will get loose. And the good plans that God has for you will come to pass. But you got to press in. If you think of a brick wall and it's hard and you're pressing, it's like a battering ram and you're pressing and you're praying and you're praying. Pretty soon those rocks are going to get loose and they're fall and there's going to be breakthrough. It's happened in this church, didn't we see that? We said we turn a corner. We mean that the Holy Spirit is moving on us. We're all engaging a little bit more. We're all worshiping more. We're doing a little bit more, but it takes time. Right? It goes from little by little, glory to glory. I want like the big outpouring, right? But God works in little by little. And we go, and it takes a whole lifetime of knowing God's heart. It's little things each day. Dare to trust Him in 2019. All of a sudden, when you press through and you get the mind of God, and you'll just feel, it's not like, oh, I have the mind of God. You'll just feel the presence come in. And all of a sudden, you're there, and then He begins to speak. And then you're like, oh, now this is worth it. Just waiting in prayer, right? He's so worth fighting. You're not fighting for something. You're just fighting to get beyond your flesh. Are you willing to do that in 2019? I know I am. So now we'll get to the power of prayer. If we want to increase our prayer life, in the simplest form, prayer is talking with God, right? So we just need to talk more. That's not a problem for me. You know, I can talk for 45 minutes straight. That's awesome. But just like any relationship, whether it's a marriage relationship, I've always wanted to be married to Troy. He's my best friend. We're committed to each other. I want closeness. And he still is God's perfect provision for me. I still call him my perfect provision. And I'm his answered prayer. That's what we do. But I know. Good man of God right there. But isn't that relationship is just a picture, too, of a relationship with Christ. Wait, we even are called the bride of Christ. I mean, the bride of Christ, we're sinful. I mean, I just always, in my mind, I'm like, wow, he calls us the bride of Christ. And in that relationship, we're committed to them. We keep talking. We just don't say love you like the first day, and then 15 years later, well, she knows I love her. You gotta keep, you know, starting to say, hey, I love you. Thanks for all you do. And the same thing with God in our relationship. Love is an important part of marriage. In the same way, in our relationship with God, you got to check in with the Father of your soul. You got to check in with Him and say, hey, I really love you. You know, it's a relationship. In 1 Thessalonians 3:12, it says, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another. And for all people, just as we do for you. And that's Paul talking to the Thessalonica church. But the part I want to, it's like we should, as we grow in our walk with God, we should increase in loving God and then loving each other. And it's kind of a vertical relationship. If you take inventory of yourself, how loving am I being to the brothers and sisters? Am I being short? And sometimes we all have our days, right? We do. But how loving, and it just shows about where you're at in your relationship with God. So when we read scriptures about the love of God, something awakens us, right? Something bubbles inside of us, and that should just flow out to others. And when it's not, then maybe there's something that, you know, you need to look at with God. God's a source of love, right? And if we want to be visible in our love, it will show with our walk with him. He will show mercy in your time of need. Increasing in your prayer life is impossible without the scriptures. Just like faith, there's that tangible substance. When you're in the spirit of prayer and praying, there is something tangible that you literally can feel in your heart that now there's some prayer. Now you can feel like you're in rhythm with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it feels like needing a needle through a haystack when there's so much going on in your life, and you're like, sometimes you feel like, man, I'm not sure if God's hearing me. Is it just me talking to myself? And sometimes you have seasons like that. Prayer requires faith. The reason that I think sometimes prayer can get difficult or hard at times is that it's not unreal. It's just unseen. It's a real kingdom, but it's not seen. We can't, it doesn't interact with our physical senses, like tasting and seeing and feeling. Yes, we can taste of the Lord. We can feel his presence, but it's not like tasting burgers or watching a thunderstorm or a sunset. It's completely different. Some of the challenges that we can face that when we use our faith to pray, sometimes the facts don't line up with that, and we can feel like our prayers fail, or we're not in faith, or we're not listening to the word, or something's wrong with us. But I just feel like I don't take it like that. My mindset is, don't look at that as a failure. Look at that as, don't doubt. Guard your heart. That's what in James 3, 19 and 22, that, let's go to that. That's a great scripture to remind us. And I don't think God would put it in his word if he wouldn't have knew that we were, our hearts could be doubtful at times, could get fleshy and respond in some of those ways. All right, James 3, 9, verse 19. I must have wrote that one wrong, because there is no 319. Well, it says, guard your heart above all diligence, for out of it shall flow the issues of life. Well, that's funny. but he knew how deceived our hearts can be, how selfish our hearts can be, and how doubtful our hearts can be. Otherwise, it wouldn't be written in scripture that say, guard your heart. Especially in the context of prayer, guard that heart when you are praying for things maybe and it's just not coming to pass, and you're wondering like, why can't I hear you? And sometimes practicing his presence and saying, hey, I'm his sheep again. You know, I hear his voice and I'm going to hear you, and I'm not going to leave until I hear you. Sometimes we get committed to praying daily. It comes with uncertainty. Sometimes we hear God and that we'll sense him, and our hearts are confident in listening to him. But in John 3:21, it says, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence toward God. If our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence toward God. So if you find yourself like, you know, in self-condemnation where, oh, man, everybody at church, the pastors are all telling me to pray, and I hear it on the radio to pray, and I'm not praying, and boy, I'm just a lousy Christian. You know, I wish I could be like this. Be okay with where you're at spiritually. Don't be comparing. That is just the enemy just coming in an unrenewed part of your mind. Don't let that come in. Be your own voice. Be an original. Don't try to be anybody else. We don't need another Trisha or another Debbie. You know, we have you. God created you for a specific purpose and destiny. And be that. Be that voice. Be original. Your feelings will not overturn what God says. So even though you say, yeah, man, I have messed this up. You know, I've been prayerless. Part of my hearts are hard. Giving God hard toward others. Doesn't matter. We're not led by those feelings and those are null and void to God because he doesn't remember sin anymore, right? But until you actually have that emotional connection with the word, it does not make change. Because we can read these scriptures all day long, but until you emotionally connect and it does something in your heart, then it's like, oh, like if you're going through a job situation, there's no job, and then you start saying, he is my provider. God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Or if you feel like you're abandoned, I'm accepted in the beloved. And then when those feelings are very real, then the word comes alive. I'm going to go into Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 23. See if I got this one right. there's a 19, yeah. 10 through 19 through 23. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. That is a good scripture to declare. I mean, there's so much of that. So the first part of that, it says, we have confidence. So we have a privilege, an entry point to enter his presence, right? So there is we have a privilege to enter with confidence. We have a power to enter, the blood of Jesus. We have a point of entry. Right here it says, and by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. That's a new point of entry. And we have a person safeguarding that entry into the presence of God. And that's the great high priest, right? I don't know about you, but I spent a lot of years wasting time of looking at my inadequacies and failures and what I wasn't. You know, even the simplest of things, well, wow, they've got this and I don't. But I've learned over the years, praise God, over the many years, that my mindset had to change. I had to focus on the good things of what God is doing and rejoice in the goodness of God and in his provision through his promises and his word. Because we can always look at something, but once you start doing that, you filter if you continue with self-condemnation and you read the word, you filter the word even through that. So it'll look like, come into my gates with thanksgiving. Oh, man, that's right. I didn't do that either. I didn't come into your gates saying, I came with complaining. Oh, I'm so murmur. You know, just murmuring and just like, lift your gates up, lift your head up and praise the Lord and focus on his goodness. And then I realized that he's able, right? He is able to work it out by his grace. I only stand here before you by his grace that I'm even alive. And really, it's getting your eyes off yourself. Because I realized that I really wasn't that big of a deal. Even though I thought I was a big deal, we're not that big of a deal. And the expanse of the planet, he created the stars and the heavens and everything, the oceans. And we're this little thing in Green Bay at Visible Church. I mean, it should make you feel amazed that he created you, but in the same respect, in awe of such a big God, right? In James 1, 2, and 3, talks about producing all the trials of our faith, like he talked about in that video. The trials of our faith to produce perseverance in faith, not failure. So when you go through something and you feel like, I did it again, or, you know, or it didn't come to pass like what you believe God for, don't look at it as failure. Look at it as persevering and in the faith. Like when things don't work out the way you thought it was, or when you prayed for something and it didn't happen, what are you going to do? You're going to persevere, and you're going to continue to believe God no matter what, at all costs. And I just feel like that somebody needs to hear that, that no matter what, you feel like you're in that deep place, like there's no way God can change this. These people have had this record, and they're so hard-hearted, and nothing's going to change. I don't care where, I don't care, because I know my God. I know that he can work all things together for good. All things. There is no condemnation. If he says there's no condemnation, there is no condemnation in Christ. He remembers your sin no more. I don't care how hard the situation looks. God is a God of impossible things. So let's believe him for impossible, crazy things. Why not? Why keep limiting him to our own little brains? Why not take him out of the box, right? Believe him. What if he actually did what we believed? What if he actually did something from our faith at Visible Church to this whole city, and there was revival in this city? What if? Think about that one. There is a power on the inside of us that is waiting to come out in our prayer life. That's the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God's word. Your prayer life will be dull if you do not use Scripture. Scripture gives us the mind of God and the language of heaven. Who talks like, my ways are above your ways? Not in that tone, but... but who talks? No one talks like God. No one talks like God. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. I have mighty things that you do not yet know of. No, only through Scripture. There's only pages that sound like this. Unless you have it on your phone. I love going like this. This is the only Bible that sounds like this. On the pages of Scripture. You got to get the language of heaven and the word of God, because something happens in your heart when you start praying his word. There's times where I can encourage somebody in what I'm thinking, and maybe is wisdom from God, but the fruit of that is way worse. There is no fruit. But when I speak the word of God, even when there's prophetic words, those are great and they're anointed by God. But when you have the word of God, sometimes there's a response that's a bit better, because the word of God speaks something to our heart. It's filled with the Holy Spirit, right? It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Like we said last week, it's a conversation, right? And there are seasons when it's dark and it feels like we're praying, but we're praying by ourselves, and we'll pray longer, we'll pray more intense, we'll start fasting, we'll start getting the prayer teams and calling everyone. And we wonder if it's me, or did God leave me, or did I do something? In these times, it's where the word of God will illuminate our path. Our prayer can be at this time, open my eyes. Because unless the Lord opens your eyes, you will not see. If the Lord doesn't open, in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, it says through the prophet, the heart is deceitful, above all things and beyond care. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. Either that scares you or you rejoice. And it could be both at the same time. There are days, and I told you, you know, we all go through these ebbs and flows where we are full of the Spirit of God, and some days are just, blah, but you still seek God. And on those days when we feel blind to how to reach God's heart and connect with him, we turn to the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words that cannot express. And he searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to God's will. Oh, he intercedes for you. You're not alone. When you feel like, oh, this is just different, you know, an icky feeling sometimes. It's not all the time like this, but I'm just highlighting these areas that can be stumbling blocks in prayer. The Spirit, Jesus intercedes for you. The Spirit intercedes. David knew the power of God's word to unveil his own heart. He said in Psalm 19, 7 and 8, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting and restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So when you have your own natural eyes and looking at your own circumstances, the word can open up your eyes. There is a substance of prayer, and the word of God can increase the substance of your prayer. The word of God will bring us past our experience into the expanse of his kingdom. So when we talked about limiting ourselves in prayer, the word of God will open that up. The word touches our life personally and changes us as it was written. The word of God was written for the entire world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So when you start praying and you start praying in the Spirit, sometimes you're going to have compassion on groups of people that you never thought you had compassion. That's the compassion of God. He died for the entire world, right? So when we pray God's word, it takes on the depth of his will. You know, sometimes you'll feel when you're praying, God, we just want your will to be done in this. We'll take on his heart and, we take on his compassion. The position in prayer, love is pretty important in marriage, like we talked about, right? Scripture, prayer becomes flat and painful when you just are speaking in your own language, and that the word of God just really helps you get to that point. Scripture gives you imagery. It gives you insight, and it gives you intimacy with the Lord, and it gives you that vigor, meaning it gives you effort. The word of God will give you energy and enthusiasm, kind of that toughness muscle to power through. And that's the Spirit of God, because we're one-third spirit, but God is all spirit, right? Almost right away, you will be in resistance training. Some of us that like to work out know what resistance training is, right? You build those muscles. You work those muscles. You resist that training. And that will come through your flesh, through your bodies, or through your souls. Whether you're being committed, like, I am going to grow in my prayer life. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to seek him. That first day is like on fire. You're ready to go. Maybe the first week you got it done. By the second week, you're like, you know, I could sleep probably another 15 minutes. And I mean, he's not really legalistic like that. I mean, I can pray anytime during the day. You know, your body and soul will fight you. Even when you want to walk in love. Your body's like, they never talk to me. I always talk to them. I mean, it sounds so childish. But walking in love, put that stinking flesh away. Don't even pay it any attention. It is the flesh, and it's going to the grave. But we are not. Once we get in that habit of consistency and being disciplined, in whatever area it is, keep going. Once you keep working that muscle of being disciplined, keep doing it and keep doing it. Because once you get out of it, it's real easy to get out of it a little more, get out of it a little more. So once you're, as moms, in cleaning mode, keep on cleaning. you're in discipline mode of meeting with God, keep on doing it. And you're just training your soul to submit. Train that soul to submit because it does not want to submit. And you are more than this. You got to stand before Jesus Christ someday. You got to grow. You got to grow. I want to see all of us thrive in everything. And that thriving is coming from that personal walk. I mean, we can come here on Wednesdays and Sundays, but when you walk out that door, it is a decision and it is simple. It's a decision. It's just one decision. Saying, I'm gonna meet with God. And just, you push through. It's just one decision. It is easy. We complicate things a lot. I overthink things a lot. But if we just stick with a decision and go with it. And just do it. Scripture are a major source of spiritual strength. When fear overwhelms us, like in Psalm 119, 154, when you feel overwhelmed and you're not sure what's going on, 119 says in verse 154, it says, "Revive me according to your word." Jesus said his words are spirit and they are life. You can't find one bad thing in the Bible about you. Right? There is not one bad thing about you in the Bible. We sure can think of a lot of things that I wish I was more loving. I wish I was more this. But there is not one thing bad that God thinks about you. That's awesome. That just gets you excited. And you know what? You're not responsible for changing you. You have the responsibility to meet with him, absolutely, and do your part and work and partner with God, but he does the changing. That should just bring, oh, that's awesome. I don't have to change me. And if you try, it really doesn't work either. And during our times of prayer, we clothe ourselves with scripture. That is the ability, the word where it says, be strong in the Lord. That's where we clothe ourselves. Be strong in the Lord because his word is safe and sure. One of the things I think is most important is knowing who we are in Christ. You know, as I'm going over this prayer thing, it's like, oh, we got faith. We got prayer. We got tenacity. We got perseverance. And then we have identity. I mean, I could like go for like two more weeks about our identity in Christ. I mean, if you don't know, if you have things that are hurts and pains in your heart and they are not healed, you will look at it through a lens of scripture that is not accurate. But when we know who we are in Christ and just saying these things, the word of God will prosper in the thing it was sent to. So I just have some of them. And I just want to say a couple of these. I won't go through all of them because there's like 9 pages of it. But it says, I am alive with Christ. I am far from oppression. I will not live in fear. I'm born of God. Evil does not touch me. I'm holy, without blame before him in love. I have the mind of Christ. I have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The Spirit of God, who is greater in the world, lives in me. I received abundant grace and the gift of righteousness and reign in life through Jesus Christ. I've received the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. I've received the power of the Holy Spirit who can do miracles through me. I'm merciful. I do not judge others. I forgive quickly. And I do this by God's grace. He blesses my life. God supplies all my needs according to his riches. I can do whatever I need to do in life through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. I overcome the enemy of my soul by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I have everything I need to live a godly life and equipped to live in his divine nature. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I am the righteousness of God. I mean, doesn't that just hearing those things like, yes, yes, amen. Yes. I mean, even if you don't believe it, the word doesn't lie. So eventually that word will come along and do that. So I got one couple more things and then I'm done. I don't even know what. Oh, it's only 1:45. Good. We are going to have time for this wonderful little exercise here. Our human nature is in direct contrast to his divine nature. We're limited. He's limitless. We're so contrast as you start thinking about some of these things. We pray out of our natures to get, he wants to give. We want power and authority with God, and he wants friendship and association with us. We want to enter his presence. Well, when we enter his presence, it's never based on our goodness, right? It's not about our works. It's only about the blood of Jesus, right? Amen. It's never about your works. Even though faith without works is dead, we should have good works, but that does not get us into heaven. Even going into his presence and you feel like a dirty dog, it is not about your goodness. It's about Jesus, right? And his grace. The same scripture that speaks of the great chasm between ours and God's nature also speaks of our position in the spirit world because of our relationship with Jesus. For in Colossians 3:3, it says, you died and your life is now hidden in Christ. Our life is not our own. Our life is not our own. It's not about what you want to do or I want to do. It's about him, right? Colossians 1, 21 and 22, it says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now we have been reconciled by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from condemnation. I mean, that last sentence is huge. We are holy in his sight, without blemish, free from condemnation. This scripture reveals how God feels about you and I. We are his sons and daughters. Family of God, heirs of God. And when we slip into that condemnation in prayer, we need to pause and read Romans 8, 15, and 17. It says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. You did not receive, say that, you did not receive a spirit that makes you slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, saying, Abba, Father. And sometimes we act as an orphan. We act as if when we're not connected to the vine and abiding, we act as an orphan and we're sons and daughters. This is about our position in God. Unless we pray with our authority, we petition as beggars and orphans rather than sons. You'll feel that in prayer when you're not in alignment with your authority. Like, please, God, please, please, please forgive me. Know your authority. He already forgave you 2,000 years ago, right? Knowing the authority of who you are in Christ, authority by him, changes your whole world. It has changed mine. Just knowing who you are. When there is an overflow in the Word, in the Holy Spirit, it will produce a song. That's another wonderful thing about Scripture. That it will produce a song in your heart. Since song is in the heart of every believer, it should be utilized in prayer. If you come to pre-service prayer, sometimes we sing in there. I mean, it's not, well, me, it's not good, but It blesses God's heart. It's a joyful noise. but you sing to God. The purpose is that when you're in prayer, all of a sudden you'll feel a song like, I just want to sing this to him, and I just want to tell him how much I love him. That song should be coming. That's part of it. That's where worship interacts with prayer and faith. It all works together. It's like an onion. It's all these little layers that are all interconnecting. We should sing about him. We should sing to him, right? And let him be a channel through us when we're communicating with him through prayer. Do you have that picture? So this picture is kind of bold and crass, but I needed to sometimes do it to have you remember just what Jesus did. When, if you've ever seen The Passion, maybe you haven't, because it's kind of, it's gruesome, but it's not really anything what the cross was like, because I bet you it was that much more gruesome. But I have these two chairs up here because this is what I often do. I sit here, and I picture Jesus right here. And so this is the closest I could get, because I couldn't get a whole painting, but if you can just picture Jesus sitting there with his hands folded, and you talk about your complaining day. You talk about what's going on with your life. They couldn't even recognize him. People have near-death experiences, and they go to heaven, and they never want to come back, right? He was in heaven and said, I want to come back for them. My son, my daughters. I look at Mary. They didn't even recognize him, and he took all that for us. Every stripe, he purchased healing. He purchased your sins are forgiven. Your authority, who you are in Christ, everything, your joint heirs. He became the living word. Sometimes we forget, and sometimes it's good to look at that. But he doesn't look like that anymore, right? He's a risen Christ, and he is alive, and he's the only God that's alive. And so sometimes sometimes, you know, when you're praying, use your imagination for holy things. Use your imagination to picture Jesus sitting there, talking to him, or just enjoying him. Saying, man, I just love you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did for me. We deserved hell. And he gave us mercy. They spit in his face. He was ashamed, so we didn't have to be ashamed. No more guilt. It's powerful, huh? Seeing that. So, I don't know how to end this. I guess, you know, a lot of things I've been thinking of. If you want to, I'll pray for people. If you want to have more of a fresh prayer, spirit of prayer in your life, I can, you know, and Bill, whoever, pray over people. So I want to be the best year you've ever had in Jesus. I want to see the blessings of the Lord in all of our lives. I want you to know who you are because of him, not because of you. Know who you are in Christ, that every drop of his blood, you were worth it. You were worth it. Well, as we close up, I'm just going to say a prayer, and you are welcome to come up and pray. I'm here for you guys. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would show us, open the eyes of our hearts so we can have eyes to see truly what it means to be redeemed, a restored people. We want to know who we are in you, God.
So I just pray, God, that you would just speak to every heart tonight in this room. Every place of hardness and a brokenness and a broken heart, God. You said you came to heal the brokenhearted. That's why you came. So I just pray, God, that you would just be with us. I thank you where two or more gathered. You're right here. We don't have to wait till tomorrow. Right here in this moment, your Holy Spirit is here. Do amazing, impossible things in our lives, God. Oh, God, let testimonies just come forth and soften every heart. Lord, I just pray for every person here. I pray that they would hear you more clearly in 2019. I pray that they would have fresh faith. Faith to believe you for more. Faith to believe in a great God. Not faith in themselves, but faith in a great God. A faithful God. I pray that we would contend for your promises and hold fast to our confession. Help us. Holy Spirit, we can't do anything without you. We need you. None of us, all of you. For 2019, God, in Jesus' name. Your gospel washed me.